And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Matthew. The Gospel record of Matthew in Matthew chapter number 25. The Gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 25. We are in a Sunday school series of the stewardship of life. With the principle is that we don't own anything. God owns everything. Because he has allowed us to have these things within our stewardship, that we are to use it wisely, knowing that we're going to stand before him, give an account. If we were to make it simple, stewardship of life is our response to God, seeing God high, holy, and lifted up, seeing him as he truly is, and then us having a proper response. Now, normally when people think of stewardship, they usually think of finances first of all. But remember, stewardship goes above and beyond just finances. Last week we spoke about stewardship of time, that God has all given us 24 hours a day. And we're to use that time wisely. Why is it that some people seem they could accomplish more? They're using their time wisely. And that we want to use our time wisely. And we're going to be given to God an account for how well we use that time. We now come to another principle, not just the stewardship of time, not just the stewardship of finances, but we see today the stewardship of talent. The stewardship of talent. Notice with me, if you don't mind, to look at the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 25. The Gospel record of Matthew 25, and the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a parable to answer three questions that was asked of him by the people. Notice with me as we pick it up in Matthew 25 and verse number 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he had also gained 2. But he that had received 1 and went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained thee 5. I gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath it shall be given, and he that hath abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And with this, we have what is commonly called the parable of the talents. And this is a very important message that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us about this stewardship that God has provided for us, knowing that there is going to be an accountability and seeing the response of different people that he had given this responsibility to. We know that in this story, the Lord gives 3 servants a different amount. One he gives five, one he gives two, and one he gives one talent. And you say, well, that's not fair. That's not right. It's the master's talents. He can do whatever he wants with what he has owned. Amen. We understand that not all of us are the same. Some of us have different talents of abilities. Some are super smart. Some are super talented. Some could play piano. Some could play an instrument. Some can sing. We know that some have the ability to organize and to think. Some have the ability just to be able to physically labor. Everyone has talents. Amen. Everyone has something to do, but none of us are the same. Aren't you glad? Amen. I mean, as much as I'd think the world would be better off if it was all me's, I wouldn't get along with myself that long, and then it'd just be problems. Yeah. But we're all different. We all have different talents. We all have different opportunities. Not all of us have the same opportunities. And so this just teaches us a reality of life. All of us have different talents, different abilities, different opportunities, but God is expecting us to use what we have. We understand that principle right away, that not all of us have the same, but we're not complaining about, what about the guy who got more than me? That's not right. So I'm going to sit here and pout and do nothing. That's not the right answer. You know, sometimes people will say, well, wouldn't you be better in a bigger church? No, this is all God could trust me with, so this is what I got. Smile, nod. But you know, when you look at things that way, this is what the master has trusted me with. Can I be faithful with what God has trusted me with? Amen. If I don't have a lot of talents, but I do have something, this is what God has trusted me with. Can I be faithful with what God has given to me? That's the idea, is that not everyone's the same, but every one of us have something we can use. Now, when God comes back, and the Bible says after a long time, and we know that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a long time away. Sometimes that long time away puts us in a place where we think, well, I've got plenty of time. You got less time than what you think. But after a long time, the Lord came back, and he's now giving an account of all of his servants. It's his materials, his stuff, his possessions that he put in their hands, and he has every right to give a reckoning. That's what the Bible says here, the reckoning, to give an account. How did you do with the things I've entrusted you with? So the guy with the five talents, he says, I used it wisely, I took chances, I tried to do something for you, and when it's all said and done, I was able to take those five talents and make another five. So I've got 10 talents. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You did what you were supposed to. You took the talents, the abilities I gave you, and you tried to do something with it, and it was blessed for it. You did something with it. The guy who had two talents came and said, I worked, I labored, I took the two talents, and I got two more, so I've got four. He did something with what he had, and he was blessed for it. God says, well done. Notice that God also says, thou shalt be ruler. He says, because you did this, I can trust you to do something in the millennial kingdom. This isn't a millennial kingdom message, even though it ties into it. Understand that what we do now is just a job application for what he's going to trust us with later. If he was able to trust us now, when it's not the best circumstances, he's going to be able to trust us later when it is the right circumstances. Can you be trusted with what God has given you to do? Then you had the last guy. The last guy, he says, I know that God's given me stuff to do. I'm responsible for it. But you know, I kind of feel that he's going to be mean if I mess up. If I try, it doesn't work out, then I don't want to tell him I lost his stuff. So I'm not going to try. And he took what was given to him and he buried it in the backyard. Later on, when the master comes, he digs it up from the backyard. You could see him brushing it off and making it clean, not muddy anymore. Hey, what you gave me, that's, I still got it. I didn't lose it. But you didn't do anything with it. The Lord says that you could at least put it in the bank and give me usury. What's usury? Interest. Remember, he was gone for a long time. You put it in the bank and at least get usury. You know, we could be wise. I know of a church that someone gave them $1 million. Now, normally when a church gets $1 million, they go, hey, wait a second, we could buy this, buy this, buy this. But what they did is they took $1 million, put it in a high interest savings account, and then paid the teachers of their Christian school through the interest every month to make the bill lower for the students. Why not? Letting money work for you. And Jesus said, you didn't even do that. You could have done something. But sitting in the ground did no good, doing nothing with it. And Jesus rebukes the guy. And he tells him that he did wrong. And so that's the account of the story. Let's pull in and see some of the lessons that we could extract from this story. As a reminder, first of all, we're all given talent. We're all given talent. Remember, one of the worst things you could do in your life is to look at other people. They got those over there. They got this over there. One of the qualifications of a pastor is that they're not supposed to be covetous. And you're like, well, isn't a pastor supposed to be above that? No. Pastors go, well, how come they got this over there? And how come they got those people over there? Oh, and if I had that person, I could really go far. And if I had this, we know that half the people are covetous about Max being here instead of over there with the sound equipment and the stuff that he does. Smile, nod, it's all right. But even preachers could be covetous. It will ruin your life and ministry and what God's given you to do to look at others and say, well, I wish I had their voice. I know that when I get to the millennial kingdom and God fixes my body, I'll have a deep bass voice. That'll be nice. But right now, I'm stuck with this. When I go through a drive-thru and get my order, they say, do you want fries with that, ma'am? My kids laugh, and I understand. We can look at others and say, I wish I had them. I wish I had their good looks. I wish they had their ability to speak. I wish I had their ability to study. I wish I had their physical strength. We can look at others all day, and all that does is keep us from doing anything. Amen. Yeah. But God has given us all something. What is it that God has given you to do? God has given all of us something we could do, some sort of talent, some sort of ability. We're all endued with something more than money. Just as the man in the parable was given something from his master, all of us were given something by the master. Can you use it wisely? Can you use it for the Lord? What can you do to help things move forward? Not everyone could be a public speaker. Not everyone wants to be a public speaker. Well, there's plenty of background work to do. We're thankful for people who are able to do things within the church that others may not even see. That's important. Everyone could do something for it. I know our church folks, we love going to Bearing Precious Seed and be able to put together John and Romans and Bibles, whatever. Some of you really, really enjoy that. That's something we can do. Everyone could do something. Something we can do for the Lord. We also know that there are two sides to the talent given to us. There are two sides to that talent. What are the two sides? First of all, there's the idea of a gift, that God has given us this gift. It was given to us. None of us had it on our own. God gave you the ability. Some gave the ability to sing. Some gave the ability to study. Some gave the ability to be strong. Some gave the ability to be snarky. Well, I don't think that's ability. But everyone was given something. But the other side of that is that there's a responsibility. If God gave it to you, you are also going to have to give an account for the gift that he gave to you. If God gave you a voice, what did you do with that voice? If God gave you ability to play an instrument, what did you do with that talent? If God gave you physical strength, what did you do with that talent? You know, we take it for granted sometimes, strength, but we have some people who very much don't have strength, and we understand what a great, precious gift that is. Some have the ability to think. Some of you say, well, I don't have that ability. Well, if you do have that ability, are you using it for the Lord? What are you using your time and talents for? The things that God's given to you, because you are going to give an account. God says, I blessed you with intellect. What did you do it? I blessed you with the ability to do this skill. What did you do with that? I blessed you with strength. What did you do with that? Every one of us have been given some sort of talents. What are you doing with it? You will stand before God and give an account. And he is going to say, what did you do for my sake? What did you do? How'd you use it to further my kingdom? How'd you do things for my will? What did you do with the time and talents that God had given to us? We know that faith is required to make this application. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so with some of the abilities that we have, it requires faith. Let me go back. With all of the abilities that we have, it requires faith. Even if you have intellect, how can I use this for the Lord? I'm going to attempt to do something. Amen. And step out. God, help me with this. We're never going to be safe on the shore. We're never going to accomplish anything on the shore. We've got to launch out to the deep. Amen. We've got to do something. Someone who says, listen, I know I'm supposed to do something with it, but I'm too scared to try. What is wrong with failing in the Lord's work?
Thank you. Amen.
Trying to do something, and I'm trying to do it for the master, trying to do it the best I know how, and it doesn't work out. So what? At least you did something. That's what Jesus was telling the servant, is that he did nothing. And because he did nothing, that was his problem. It wasn't the lack of talents. It wasn't the lack of time. It wasn't the lack of opportunity. He did nothing with it. Too scared to try to do anything. We also understand that we will give an account for what God's given to us. This is a big deal. A lot of people do not understand what a big deal this judgment seat of Christ is. To stand before him, and it says everything done in our body, both good and bad, are going to be given an account. We know that this is a big deal because what we do in this life is what God will trust us with later on. May I show you? Notice again, if you don't mind, in verse number 21. And his Lord said to him, this is the man with the 5 talents who made another 5 talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So notice he gets his encouragements. You were good. Why were you good? Because you did something with it. You try to do something. You advance forward. And then notice the second qualification, faithful. You were faithful with what was given to you. The idea of faithfulness, we kind of swirl around definitions. But the idea of faithful is that it was given to me and I did something with it pleasing to the master. I didn't misuse it. I didn't set it aside. I was faithful with what was given to me. It wasn't mine, but I used it faithfully, knowing that my master was going to give an account to me. I was faithful with it. I was trusted with it. I was a good steward. He was faithful. Notice, thou hast been faithful. There's that word again, second time. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Notice that expression, a few things. Even if you were abundantly talented, when it's all said and done, it was a few things. What did you do with the few things that God had given to you? Were you faithful? Were you faithful in using it? We know that there are a lot of people who were talented, but they misuse it. I knew of a piano player who would go play at the honky-tonk bars on Saturday night and then try to play hymns on Sunday morning. Were they faithful? No. They misused the gifts that God gave to them. They used it for something other than the purposes for the master. If someone trusted me with $100 to go take care of something, and I ended up using more than half of that for something for my own devices, was I faithful with what was given to me? Not at all. The idea that it's not mine, I'm responsible for it, I need to be faithful, I'm going to give an account. What did I do with what was given to me? Notice again in verse 21, I will make thee ruler over many things. So you were faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Well, this is a big deal. that God has only given us a small responsibility now. But how well we do, if we're faithful, he's going to give us a larger responsibility later. He has plans to use us later on, beyond this scope, beyond this world. In the millennial kingdom, he's got something big planned for us if we're willing to be faithful with what we have. Little as much when God is in it. You say, well, God doesn't know where I'm at. No one knows where I'm at. God does. And he watches the people that I've given a few things with. Can I trust them? When no one's looking, no one's watching, can I trust them? And if I test them out, which is this whole life is a test, they could be trusted. I've got something better for them later. I've got something I could trust them with later. I got something responsible for them later. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, I don't have a lot of responsibilities. I clean the church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you be faithful in that?
Amen.
Because that's a big deal. You say, well, no one's looking. No one's watching. God is. And God says, I trusted you with that job. And now I could trust you with something else. There's no such thing as a small job inside of the work of the Lord. Everything is important. No such thing as a small job in the work of the Lord. If God's given you that job, it is an important job. You say, well, nursery. Nursery should be more than babysitting. That's an important job to influence them. I'm going to be the best nursery worker possible. Praise the Lord. It's my job to pull the weeds. Well, I'm going to be the best weed puller possible. There's no such thing as a small job because it's all important. I'm doing it for the Lord's sake. I'm doing it for God. I don't know how God is going to use it, but God does. Could be that someone drives and says, that's a beautiful flower garden. I think I'm going to go into church.
Praise the Lord. You never know. Yep.
We know nursery and bathrooms. Bathrooms being clean is a big deal. A mom comes in for the first time, is going to judge the church off the nursery and the bathrooms. And if the bathrooms are dirty and the nursery's not well run, they'll never come back. We lose our chance to influence them. It's important. There's no such thing as a small job. Are we being faithful with what God has given us to do inside of God's work? To hear, well done, well done. I was faithful with what God had given to me, and I used it wisely. But then we come to the last one. The servant was wicked for what he did not do. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see as the man in verse 24. But he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Notice that phrase. He's lying. He has a bad image of what his master is like. Our master's kind and gracious. Our master was able to trust people with a few things and he rewarded them with many things. That's a good master.
Amen.
He had a wrong view of a master. You think that sometimes people don't serve the Lord because they have a bad view of their master?
Yeah.
They don't have a biblical view of their master. Our master is always great. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You'll never be ashamed those that wait on him. We have a good master. You know, sometimes people get a wrong view of God in their head. Remember, the whole idea of stewardship of life is a proper response to who God is.
Amen.
And when we see God as good and we understand the love that he had towards us, no wonder that Paul said, the love of God constraineth me. Why do you keep doing this, Paul? Because I can't get over the love of God. I have a good master. Why do some people think God is not a good God? Because we're an ungrateful people.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer grateful. We take things for granted. And may I say that American Christianity is the most ungrateful branch of Christianity there is. Ungrateful. God gave me life and health and strength. God has provided this and that. God has provided this and this. God has been so good to me. But the servant here had a bad view of God. I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering what thou hast not strong. Now, this sounds like the American workplace. The boss doesn't care. He doesn't do the stuff. I work for him. I do all the work, and the boss just gets the benefit from me. It's not right that he's... It's like going to work. They have a wrong view. Our God is a gracious God. But we're so selfish. Nah, God wants me to pass out tracts. Fine, if I have to. It's because we have a bad view of God. Our God is good. But he says, I knew that thou were a hard man. I knew that you just wanted me to work and you get the benefits from it. He had a wrong view of God. And he was ungrateful. Could it be that's why a lot of people don't serve God? They show up to church because they have to. Cross their arms. Bless me if you can. I dare you to bless me. I'm getting out of here unscathed. You just watch. Sometimes I look at those people and scratch them. I say, why are you here? But God's been so good to us. And he says, thou art a hard man. Reaping where thou was not sown. Gathered there. And I was afraid. By the way, this is not a good fear of God. May I say he's using it as an excuse? He got caught by his master and he's making excuses. Why didn't you do something with this? Because you weren't good and I knew you weren't good and I was just afraid what was going to happen. Could we say he's making up excuses and trying to talk his way out of this? But it's not going to happen. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Slow, there, that is thine. Fine, God, I just weighed it and I gave it back to you. It's yours here. Take it back. That's not what God wanted. He didn't just want us to hold on to it. He didn't want us just to set it up on a dresser and then so that way it's collecting dust and then so that way we could give it back. He wasn't just letting us borrow it so we could just set it somewhere. He invested. He gave us this to use, to do something with it. Notice what the Lord said. And his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. He was wicked and slothful. You should have done something with it. You did nothing with it. You didn't do anything for me. You may have worked hard in your life and other things, but you didn't do anything for me. You were not faithful. Slothful servant. Thou knewest. So now he turns the same words. All right. This is how you want to see me. You want to see me as hard. You want to see me as that I reap where I soweth not and gather where I have not gathered. He says, you want to see me as hard? Then I will judge you as hard. He says, that's how you see me? This is how I'll judge you. The guy picked his own judgment. He's the one that picked the terms. I knew that they were hard. Okay, then I'll be hard. Thou oughtest therefore put my money to the exchangers. Then I could have my coming received my own with usury. He said, you could have done something with it. Could have invested in missionaries. Could have bought tracts. Could have done something with it for the Lord's work. But he did nothing. It did no good. For that long time I was gone, nothing happened with it. He says, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. That's not fair. It's his. He can do whatever he wants. By the way, as a good businessman, don't you want to invest in the person who's doing something with it?
Amen. Yep.
So in the millennial kingdom, there are some responsibilities that others could have had. But God says, I don't trust you. I'm going to trust it to the person who's doing something. Dr. Reese taught me a phrase that if you ever want something done, give it to a busy person because they know how to get things done.
Yep.
What Jesus did. I'm going to give it to someone I know I can trust and I'm going to let them do it. But they have more work. Why do you see work as a bad word? It's a good word. It's what God's trusted us with. What are you going to do for 1,000 years? Work. Then I don't want to go. Then you have a misunderstanding of who God is and what he's trying to get accomplished. You understand all of this goes back to our vision of God. Is God good? Yes. Is he loving? Is he kind? Yes. Is he patient? Is he merciful? If a servant said, listen, I tried to do my best. I try to do something with you, and maybe it was me messed up, but I try to do it with the best intentions. Do you think God will say, you're cut off? He's a merciful God. Remember, that guy picked the terms. You're a hard God? Well, then I'll judge you hard. Listen, you're a great God, and I'm sorry I'm a poor servant, but I did try to do something. God will be merciful. He's not trying to snuff us out. But notice this. People like to skip the ending of this. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable, so you don't profit me, the unprofitable servant to outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not talking about salvation. He is not being cast into hell. He's being laid aside for service for 1,000 years. I can't trust you, so go over to your corner. For 1,000 years, you're set aside in the non-trusted area. You said, how does this work practically? Well, we'll go back to the millennial kingdom. We know in the millennial kingdom, according to Daniel chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 15, when we get our brand new bodies, they will shine. What does that mean? We're going to light up. And our brand new bodies are going to be based off of our faithfulness to God. Remember that as we're working in the millennial kingdom, we're working in God's government, there's going to be Jewish people who have kids, and those kids are going to grow up with a sin nature. Perfect government, but they're going to have a sin nature, and they're going to have conflicts. And when they have a conflict, they're going to go, I need someone to help settle my dispute. Who do I go to? The person that's shining bright or the guy that God didn't trust? It's going to be very practical. That's a whole different study, but when it deals with the outer darkness, God says, listen, I have a government to run, and I'm preparing people to be part of my government. I need people in positions to help me run this government for 1,000 years that I can trust to help my people. If I can't trust you, then you can't rule in my government. I'm going to set you aside. I can't use you for what I wanted you to use for. I've got other stuff for you, but you're going to be set aside. For 1,000 years, you're not going to be used in the way that I want it to be used. You understand, this is a big deal. It is a very big deal to stand before God and give an account. What did we do with the talents that God has given to us? You're like, I'm not very encouraged. Well, let me remind you that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Can't do anything about yesterday, but you start from where you are and move forward. You said, well, I didn't know about this before now. Well, now you know. Move forward. Take the time and the talents that you have. Surrender it to God. This is what you've given me. I'm going to give those back to you. God has given us so much to place in our hands. He's given us time, talent. He's given us our children. You know, we're going to be given account to God for the children he gave to us. Each child is a gift from God. That means we're responsible for raising his kids to serve him. And we're going to stand before God and give an account. And he's going to, how well did you do with my kids? Did I get an investment out of it or not? I'm trying to open our scope. This covers so much. Are we using what we have for the Lord wisely? With the goal that he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Was you faithful with the things God has given to us, knowing that we're going to have to give an account to him? Were we faithful with the talents and the opportunities God has given to us? Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And you are a wonderful God. You've provided for us so much. You've done so much for us. I'm asking that you would help us, first of all, have a correct view of you. You are not a mean God. You're not a dictator God. You're a gracious God. You give us the freedom and opportunity to serve you, the liberty to serve you. Help us to use it wisely for you. Help us to be mindful and thankful for the things that you provided for us. Thankful for the health. We know that we start to become thankful for things when we don't have it anymore. Help us to be thankful for what we have before that time. And because we're thankful for what you've given to us, that we'll take our responsibilities, our talents wisely. Thank you for trusting me with this. Help me to use it for your glory and your honor, that you would bless it. Let me step up by faith and attempt something for you. Let me move forward for you. Let me watch you work. Lord, you could do all the work. knowing that our time on earth is small and temporary, but it is a lifelong job application for what you've given to us to do in the future. Help us to be faithful to you. In your name we pray. Amen.